Joyful blessings. This is Kayla Castell with a look at week one of the October 2015 celestial timings. And this week, probably the big feature of this week is going to be the last quarter moon and the square from the sun to Pluto. But before we get to that, let's just look at the, as we begin the month, that the moon is going to be passing by the Pleiades and entering Gemini. That'll happen at 1:03 p.m. Pacific time, so that's 4:03 p.m. Eastern time, and that means that the moon is getting ready, and you'll see a sky map of this, is getting ready to catch up to Aldebaran. That's going to happen on October 2nd, and that will be another occultation in the series of occultations that's happening, the 10th one in the series of 49 that will last until September 2018. That's a pretty significant series, and this has to do with the inner lunar standstill of the moon, something that happens every 19 years and happens when the north node is in Libra and also in Virgo, because it's going to precess back into Virgo next month. The north node will enter into Virgo, I believe it is next month anyway. So, and when the nodes are at the zero point, zero Libra, north node, that is the center point of the lunar standstill. So that is what is the reason we're having the series of occultations over Aldebaran. And once that's over, once the moon starts to shift back to its more normal path, same path as the sun, then these occultations will end. And that's, as I said, going to happen in 2018. So this is a very special time and activation that the ancients, of course, would have noticed and felt was important as well. And I like to think of Aldebaran, currently it's the Eye of the Bull. It is the place where the eye, or the central point, the eye of how we perceive reality, how we see things, what is going on in our reality. And that is having this interesting experience of the moon being a transmitter, all covering and uncovering the eye, that all-seeing eye, the eye, the celestial eye, bull's eye. So what is it that's shifting in our ways of understanding our conceptions, our notions, our visions, and how we see our reality? Those are the things that this series of occultations is activating, what I'm talking about. And as I shared in the introduction to the written version of the celestial timings, there's this idea of shaking up our reality. Shaking, literally physical shaking, can shift us into an ecstatic state. And so can also shaking up our point of view. So perhaps this is time to consider what is being shaken in our reality as the moon goes back and forth, goes across Aldebaran once each month until 2018. It's pretty cool. So then on October 3, the moon, after it passes Aldebaran, will pass right over the galactic cross. And at the very end of the celestial timings, right before the template, you will see a star map that shows the cross of the plane of the galaxy with the plane of the solar system, and that is the cross, the galactic cross at the galactic edge. So whenever the moon, the sun, or any planet enters zero Cancer, it is right on that cross. Now, because the moon is in its standstill, you'll see the moon below the exact center point of the cross. The sun will be right at the center point of the cross at the June solstice, and depending on the declination of other planets as they pass by, will be can be right there too, but may also cross above or below the exact center point due to declination, due to where it is in its cycle, either crossing higher or lower. Anyway, so the moon in Cancer, and it's a great time to really do some self-care. On October 4th, we will have the last quarter moon in Cancer. It's going to happen around 12 degrees Cancer. This is connected to a star in the feet or the knee or someplace of the twins, that was where an eclipse took place about 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember exactly, and I'm trying to remember the name of the star. For some reason, it's escaping me as I'm trying to say this right now. Alhena. No. Yeah, maybe it's Alhena. I can't remember. Anyway, it's an important star and may perhaps be activating that last, that what it was activated in that eclipse a few years ago. And it is a last quarter moon, so it's a time for synthesis and synthesizing what's going on. And so if we think about the shaking theme, and I did write about this in the written version of the timings, what is it that we need to do to shake ourselves out of old ways of perceiving and dealing with family, whether they're good or whether they're not so good, whether they're challenging? But what would it take for us to really come from a place of love and compassion and nurturing and support for ourselves and for other family members? And it doesn't mean that you would necessarily have to be in contact with those family members, but just to come from that place of compassion and love. And I know in my own family situation, there was no way for me to ever have contact with my father after, but I could shift within myself and just send him love and compassion and understanding for the challenges of his life that caused him to feel and act the way that he did, and not, and to realize that it probably really wasn't personal. And, you know, I have days where I'm better at that than others, and he is now gone from this life, but without speaking to me for the last 16 years of his life. So that was definitely challenging, but we can come to a place where we can feel that love and forgiveness and compassion within our hearts. And that doesn't mean we have to have contact with our family, especially if it's not healthy and if it's toxic, but to work through whatever it is, whatever those feelings are, because that really nurtures you, it takes care of you, and it's a way of supporting you. So then the moon will pass out of the hoop. So basically what we've been describing, as the moon went into the Pleiades on October 1st, it entered into the sacred hoop. And then as it passed Aldebaran, it passed the center point of the sacred hoop. It moved through the twins. And then on October 5th, it moves out of the sacred hoop and passes by Castor, as it passes by Castor and Pollux, and actually will be quite below Pollux, the lower star of the twins in the morning sky, this waning crescent moon in the morning sky. And then it will move into Leo on the 6th at 1:31 a.m., and this will begin and kind of open the window. I'm sorry, never mind. So I'll take that back, scratch that. No, October 6th is the day of the Sun square Pluto. Now, whenever the Sun is square an outer planet from Mars out, from Jupiter out, it is either just stationed direct or is about to station retrograde. I'm sorry, I'm going to sneeze. Okay, sorry. And in this case, Pluto stationed direct a couple weeks ago, right after the equinox. And so this is really also happening at 13 degrees Libra. The Sun is 13 degrees Libra and Pluto's at 13 degrees Capricorn, right in the degrees of that most amazing April 2014 Grand Cross. That was really powerful time, and something that hadn't happened in 500 years. It was a really long time. And so this is activating those degrees of the Grand Cross, what was set in motion then, as well as, of course, every time the Sun and Pluto are squared, illuminates the possibilities around what we're letting go of, especially because Pluto is in Capricorn. Capricorn has to do with the old structures, the rules, how we do things or don't do things. So what is being illuminated that can be let go? What can we surrender and let go of so that we can create a new, more sustainable reality? Because, of course, the one we are in is not sustainable at all. Also on October 6th, Mars is going to be opposite Neptune. This is something that only happens every couple of years. It's only possible for it to happen every couple of years because Mars moves 1 degree every 2 days and takes about 2 years to move through all the signs. Also, every couple of years it goes retrograde. So it was October 19th, 2013, almost exactly 2 years ago, when Mars was opposite Neptune. And they were right around 3 degrees of Virgo and Pisces when that happened. So what's interesting to consider is that Neptune, of course, has a lot to do with inner knowing, sensitivity, what we feel. Mars is not really about that so much, and neither is Virgo. So what is the insights, the intuition, the sensitivity that is being brought forth by Mars opposition to Neptune? And also, because this will be at play for 3 or 4 days before and 3 or 4 days after the exact opposition, just to notice what are the illusions we may have that are coming to light, what are the places where we are needing to see something in a new and different way, or to experience that deeper knowing, so that things that we usually maybe think we know from a more rational, logical, left brain perspective, how do we know it from a deeper, more intuitive place? That's something that Neptune brings, as well as also the ability to tap into new visions and dreams and possibilities. So then on October 7th, it's a Monday, we'll have Saturn coming up to Dushubha. Actually, it won't be exact with Dushubha until October 17th. But this is the star that marks the eye of the scorpion. And I've written about it in the earlier celestial timings, because earlier this year, Saturn was with this star on January 22nd and again on May 7th. And so this will be the last pass of Saturn by this star for the next 29 and a half years. And just something to know was that it was August 6th of 1986 when Saturn was with this, what was the last time with this star. So it is, anybody who was born around that time is now experiencing a Saturn return. If you have Saturn in the early degrees of Sagittarius, Dushubha is exactly 2 degrees and 34 minutes of Sagittarius right now. But anything within 3 degrees of either side of that are definitely connected to this particular star. So it becomes a personal star for you in a way. Or maybe a generational star if it has to do with Saturn. Because everybody who is born in certain time periods will have had Saturn with this star, because it stays there for quite a long time. So that ends the first week of October 2015.